And speaking of orchestras, it's a great orchestral weekend. And it's a great, I love the way the orchestral weekend works out because nothing conflicts. We have Friday night and Saturday afternoon for the Coeur d'Alene Symphony, then Saturday night and Sunday afternoon for the Spokane Symphony, so that everybody who loves orchestras can just have it all. Jan Palant here. And there's just nothing as good as having lots of orchestral music, is there?
Good morning, Vern.
Good morning,
yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of symphonic work to yeah. be performed in this wonderful Northwest area.
Well, yes. and an orchestra, you know, when you think about it, you know, think if you were from another planet or something and just kind of ended up here, you know, we can't take orchestras for granted because isn't it about the most amazing thing that humanity has created?
Absolutely. It's such a lively, energetic, I would say, ensemble of amazing artists. And to see and hear the orchestra on the stage is, in my opinion, one of the most exciting things that can happen. Just to see 50, 60 wonderful musicians on the stage, I think it's something that we don't probably experience every day, so definitely.
And then in the way that the orchestra evolved, all the lovely different sounds with what instruments happened to be put together. Talk a little bit about the range of sound and kind of things that happen within an orchestra.
Exactly. I have been always surrounded by the sound of the orchestra, by all these amazing colors, woodwinds, brasses, strings, and percussions, and to see how all these different timbres, colors can combine together and create some unique, special sound is something that is definitely very exciting. Yes, orchestra is a group of musicians that create, or let's say they play several different lines at the same time, and to see if the orchestra is on the same board, if really all the musicians are sounding like one big family, is something that always is very exciting. And the reason why I would say the concerts are happening with this enormous, huge orchestra sound is to really, I would say, be for a moment in a cosmos, in a transcendental moment, and to be out of Earth, just to create our own world. And again, just by seeing wonderful 50, 60 artists on the stage creating sound that sounds like one unique combined sound is something that we really have to be enjoying as much as
Absolutely.
We can. It's not happening every day, that's true.
So it gets to happen Friday night and Saturday afternoon at the Kroc Center in Coeur d'Alene. And this is you're beginning your second season as music director of the Coeur d'Alene Symphony. And the fun of it is, this is the season where you got to pick the music.
Right. Of course, I was discussing the program with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony Artistic Committee and with the Board of Directors. And I was able to create most of the program for this season. And yes, the first opening concerts this Friday and Saturday with the Coeur d'Alene Symphony would feature Czech Bohemian music. There are several masterworks by Bedřich Smetana and Antonín Dvořák, and eventually wonderful French composer Jean-Baptiste Arban. So I felt this might be a good time to bring our wonderful community to Czech Republic for a moment and to see how this will work. It should be really exciting concert with a lot of probably not often played music in this wonderful community. For example, Dvořák Symphony No. 6 is really unique symphony. We all know Dvořák's Symphony Number 9 from the New World. However, this Symphony Number 6 is considered as Dvořák's one of the first fully symphonic work that made him internationally mm-hmm. acclaimed, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And we'll get to it specifically, but I'm going to say another thing that I've heard about Dvořák, that like many people in his student days and he was emerging, he was more influenced by the music of Austria and Germany and his teachers there. And is it maybe at about the Sixth Symphony where he really was able to fully use his Czech voice?
Exactly. Especially in the third movement of this symphony, titled as Furiant, which is traditional Bohemian dance in a 3/4 meter. Dvořák's Symphony Number 6 is considered one of his first fully traditional Czech symphonic work. It was supposed to be premiered in 1880 in Vienna with the Vienna Philharmonic under the direction of Hans Richter. However, Dvořák was pretty young at that time and wasn't still, I would say, that famous as he was later. So the premiere of this piece happened finally a year later in 1881 in Prague with the Czech Philharmonic under the direction of Alfons Čech. And it was a very successful premiere, and definitely this was the moment when Antonín Dvořák was known mm-hmm. to the, I would say, large music society in Czech Republic and beyond.
Yeah, well, let's do this. Let's first talk about what makes Czech music, and then we'll get more specific about this symphony and play an example. So you know, if I were to conduct it versus you conducting it, we would both see the same score and see the same notes there and make sure that everybody did the stuff. But what would you, who grew up there, who knows the language, who knows the culture, who knows the dancing, what is there that you have to bring to this?
Right. So what is really something unique in the Czech music? I understand. I would say Bohemian tunes are very much warm, emotionally involved. Antonín Dvořák was a wonderful violist and organ player, and he did enjoy to write, I would say, simple, easygoing melodies that are easy to sing on the street. He grew up in the small village close to Prague and was always surrounded by these traditional folk dances at these small villages. And this is very typical for Czech citizens, that they would just hold their instruments even on the streets, play some traditional folk tunes, then eventually go to a restaurant, talk, drink some beer, these kind of things. And one can also a little bit hear this emotional, spontaneous moments in Dvořák's music. At the same time, I have to say, Dvořák was very much sure about every note he put into the score. Specifically speaking, in the third movement of this Symphony Number 6 by Dvořák, Furiant, there are accents on different beats. So we would always expect to have some emphasis, some heavy beats on downbeats of each measure. However, Dvořák was unexpectedly doing these accents sometimes on the first beat, sometimes on the second beat, sometimes on the third beat. And looking in the score, we would say, oh, it's not really regular. We might be a little confused, in my opinion. But once we start to to play and hear to his music, it's so much making sense and so much sounding as if we don't see anything unusual in the score. So my point is, what we see in the score sometimes, in Dvořák's score, would eventually be not easy to always understand what were his intentions. Because again, when we see some accents, some crescendos, some dynamic changes that are happening unexpectedly, not regularly, not at the same theme that we heard at the exposition, and suddenly in recapitulation, we don't hear the same music. So we might ask ourselves, was Dvořák aware of exactly what he was trying to express? Yes. Sometimes he would make the same theme, the same song, sound at the beginning of the movement and again at the end of the movement. However, the melody that sounds in the same way is suddenly sounding either much softer or much louder. So the question is again, was Dvořák doing that on purpose, or he eventually forgot to add all these markings? Yes. Dvořák's intention was to make sure that listeners are aware of all these small details that are actually not sounding always in the same way. The point is, Antonín Dvořák's music, especially in this symphony number 6, is so contrasting, so dramatic, but at the same time, so easy to listen. If someone would stop us on the street and ask us to sing any melody that Dvořák created, it will be so easy to sing. But what makes Dvořák unique, especially in this 6th symphony, is the irregularity.
Right.
Again, all the accents, all the dynamics, all the, I would say, tempo changes are happening unexpectedly and are happening in a different way that we hear at the beginning of each movement. Another thing is also the orchestration. Dvořák was not only a great inventor of the beautiful melodies, but he was also able to very well orchestrate them for the orchestra. He was aware of each instrument color. And especially in this symphony, it's very important to make sure that all the notes are played exactly as written in the score. Otherwise, this piece would be a little bit, I would say, difficult to really enjoy. It's not a piece that we will just kind of sit and listen to. It requires a little bit more of attention. It's a very rarely played piece.
Yeah, let's stop, because I want to dissect a few of these things before you bring in all of them. And I also want to play a little bit so that our listener can hear some of the very things you've talked about. But one thing I want you to ask you to do right now is pretend we're going to send you back to Prague for a moment. Would you say two or three? I want to hear the sound, and especially the rhythmic sound, of the Czech language. So I don't care what content you say. Would you just tell me two or three sentences of something speaking it in Czech right now?
Sure. Which sentence?
I don't just say, any sentence? Say anything. You're sitting around this restaurant having a pilsen. I don't care.
Dobrý den. Hudba Antonína Dvořáka je překrásná a velmi působivá. This means...
No, keep doing. I want to hear more of the
more
language.
More language. I see.
I just want to hear the sound of the language.
Dvořáková hudba je velmi impulzivní, s mnoha neočekávanými momenty. Antonín Dvořák de facto pomáhá neustále objevovat naše české kořeny a stále vlastně pomáhá reprezentovat naši Českou republiku v hudebním světě v tom nejlepším možném světle.
terrific, because now we really hear all of those wonderful accents right there in the language.
I see. Yeah. It's hard for me to see that, but
no,
I understand this
feedback, that's so obvious. Why don't we take at this point, why don't we play that Fourriant, and then people can dissect everything you've just said about that, and then we'll come back and talk about other aspects of it. For the next 7 minutes, this is the Vienna Philharmonic, the orchestra that was supposed to premiere it, playing the Fourriant of the Sixth Symphony of Antonín Dvořák. Wow.
Yeah, well, definitely. It's
that was the Fourriant from the
Vienna Philharmonic.
The Sixth Symphony of Dvořák with the Vienna Philharmonic, and my guest, Jan Palant, if you're just joining us, and that's the third movement of the symphony that they're going to be doing. Now, the Fourriant, is that an actual dance with dance steps somebody somewhere in the Czech Republic can do?
Well, nowadays, it's not that much, I would say, implied dance nowadays. It's like all the traditions of the 19th century. Sure, we can still experience and see in the smaller villages of Czech Republic these three-quarter style dance, where the folk dancers would dance on the streets, even at the castles, at the chateaus. But probably it's not happening that often anymore today.
But it is an actual dance with dance steps.
Oh, yeah, it's still.
All of those funny little offbeat things are a certain thing that you the dancer, would do.
Yeah, it's definitely something that one would experience at these traditional Czech holiday times. Czech Republic doesn't celebrate that often Thanksgiving, for example. There are other minor celebrations in March, in April. So eventually these are the moments when people will sit down with their families and dance this music. Someone would play piano and violin or string quartet and just sit on the sofa and listen to these folk tunes and eventually get up and dance very spontaneously, very easily, spontaneously, just to enjoy. But, you know, this kind of, I would say, non-philosophical, spontaneous moments are sometimes very exciting. And Czech people are, I would say, generally speaking, very impulsive, emotionally involved people. They like their traditions, and there is a huge tradition, a huge history, and definitely Prague, the capital city, has kind of nickname, which is that almost everyone is playing any instrument over there. So,
nice. And now this, which number one is not well-known symphony. I expect that nobody in the Coeur d'Alene Symphony had ever played the Dvorak Sixth Symphony before you started rehearsing. Talk about teaching this to an orchestra in terms of really making it work.
I have to say that the Coeur d'Alene Symphony is very flexible, and it was very easygoing rehearsals. I was pleased how we were able to get on the same board so quickly, and I was trying with my colleagues in the orchestra to create this sound of the, I would say, Czech sound that we can sometimes experience with the orchestras over there. Of course, Coeur d'Alene Symphony has the wonderful, unique sound, but we might hear a little bit of kind of unusual sound effect, a little more of vibrato in the strings than usual, a little more of strong accents that we would usually do, exaggerated crescendos. Mm. So these kind of small details would be transferred from Prague to Coeur d'Alene for a moment this Friday and Saturday.
There's also a great tradition of wind playing in the Czech Philharmonic.
Right,
isn't
right.
There? Talk about the Czech sound of wind playing, or the approach that Czech wind players make.
Right. I think this is especially implied to the brass section. So there were several legendary brass, I would say, teachers, professors for the French horn.
Tilshaw Brothers.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, Tilshaw Brothers. And what was special, unique with the Czech Philharmonic is that, for example, most of the first violin section or second violin section or viola section, they used to have their same teacher. They were trained with the same coaches, teachers, the same with the brasses, and it does affect the sound. If you really imagine, and Czech Philharmonic is probably one of the last orchestras, probably one of the most very last orchestras in this world that has musicians that have, or they used to have, I'm not sure how it is today, but coming back 20, 30 years ago, still, one could tell that most of the members of the Czech Philharmonic would, the sections in the Czech Philharmonic would have the same teachers. Mm-hmm. So, for example, all four French horns would be coming from Professor Tilshar, or viola section, or most of the viola section would have the same coach. So this did really affect the sound. And I would say, yes, as you said, the wind tradition is very, very long, very a lot of history there in Czech Republic. We can still hear a lot of followers who would still meet these older legendary teachers from Japan, from all over the world. They would travel to Prague and take some lessons with these legendary teachers. And the Czech Philharmonic, if I can briefly mention, and not only Czech Philharmonic, the other wonderful orchestras in Czech Republic, what makes them unique is very emotional, intense sound. Of course, this is a phrase that everyone would say, emotion, emotion, but please listen to any orchestra of Czech Republic, close your eyes and let me know if you would not have tears in your eyes. It's so much touchy, so much emotional, so much at the same time energy. And I always say we might like, we might hate the sound, but I would almost guarantee that whenever there is chance to listen to Czech folk music, it would touch, it would make us to have tears in our eyes. And I'm so glad I have this opportunity in the Coeur d'Alene to work with wonderful orchestra and to bring us for a moment to Prague. I hope no one would complain, and it should be really great moments on Friday.
And it will be. So Friday night at 7:30 and Saturday afternoon at
2 o'clock. The pre-concert talk, 45 minutes pre-order concert.
At the Kroc Center in Coeur d'Alene is the Coeur d'Alene Symphony opening its season with these wonderful Czech pieces by Smetana and Dvorak, and then a good trumpet solo just to give a wonderful contrast to that. So, pleasure to have you visit us. Thanks a lot, Jan Pallant.
Thank you.
And to not keep hearing that, because I want you the listener, to enjoy discovering this symphony on your own. We won't hear any more of that symphony, but one of the beloved pieces by Dvorak is that great aria from Rusalka. We translated as O Silver Moon, and here it is with Renee Fleming.